He says, I'll give you a stone, and the stone will have a new name, no matter what they call you. There's newness of life. Come on and say amen. He said, which no man knoweth, saving he that receive it. In other words, you might, you know, just like you have a relationship with your husband and wife, and they might have had a pet name for you that nobody else don't know. It's a name, even in families, people have names for people that the world don't know what that name is. You know, they don't know they call you Pookie. You know, they know you as Martha Jones. I'm just saying, you know. But when you have an intimacy with God, he gives you, because of that intimacy, he gives you a new name. He calls you something special. Amen. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say it unto the churches. Amen. If you have an ear, hear what God is saying to these churches. As I told you before, we have to look at these things practically, prophetically, and personally, right? What we saw in this text tonight, I can see it, and I tried to display it. I hope you got it. I tried to show you where it was practical. I tried to show you how it was prophetic, and I tried to show you how it's personal to us. And we got to know that, as again, I always say that I believe that these are phases of the church. These phases, the eras of the church that they went through. They went through the era when they were like Ephesus, the era when they were like Smyrna, the era when they were like Pergamos. And I also believe that God strategically put some churches nowadays in certain places. I believe that the churches in the Middle East, that is the churches of Smyrna right now, they're being martyred. And I believe that we're more like Pergamos because we are right where Satan's seat is. We are enjoying the luxuries of life. There are a few people that get martyred, but we got all of this game going with Balaam and controlling people and things like that. You know? So anyway.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, hold on. Change is coming. hold on. Change is coming. Paul's desire in this word is to encourage the believer, to make him or her aware of the fact that God knows all things, that God is in control of all things, and that we must be mindful of our walk and our talk as relates to our position and our place in the body of Christ on planet Earth. If you walk back to verse 7, because when Paul speaks here, he says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. That word deceived means do not be fooled. In the common vernacular, we would say, don't be played. God is not mocked, which means don't play with God. And then it says, for whatsoever a man soweth, he's talking about the planter and the planting, that same like kind shall he reap. And he makes clear that whatever the planter plants, he's going to be partaker of that he planted. And so it's a clear warning on the one hand, and it's also an encouragement on the other hand. Because if you've sown good seeds, you've got some good things to look forward to. But if you've sown bad seeds, then the record is that what you've sown, you have sown, is coming back to you. Not to somebody else, but to... He's given a warning to the planter about what he's planting. And I think, my brothers and sisters, we'd be a lot more careful if we knew every time we ran our hands down in our seed bag and pulled up some seeds, that we'd be careful what we plant in the ground. Because can I tell you, when you plant something, that's not a mistake. That's not an accident. That is on purpose. If seeds fall out your bag, it won't necessarily grow because it has not gone through the process of opening and preparing the earth for the seed to go in, then closed in, watered, and nurtured for it to grow. So seed can fall out your bag and nothing happens. But when you plant it, it's because you expect it to grow. But the problem is, it's not just in the positive that this principle works. It also works in the negative. I did one bad thing, but 10 bad things and come back. Well, here's what I need to understand, that when I planted the seed, instead of me getting back one fruit, I received a source, because the source was in the seed. So when I planted one apple seed, I got an apple tree, which was the source of many apples. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying here today? And if I would keep in mind the fact that all of these things, good or bad, happens at my own choosing. It goes on to say, for if he that soweth to his flesh, he must know that what he sows in and to the flesh, he reaps corruption. What he sows to the spirit, he reaps of the spirit life everlasting. And so what he does is he puts it in perspective. What am I focusing on? Am I focusing more on fleshly, carnal things, or am I focusing more on spiritual and godly things? Because whichever one I sow to, that's where I'm going to get my growth from. If I sow to my flesh, if all I'm doing is dealing with the things that I desire in my flesh, in my mind, in my thoughts, in my actions, in my deeds, then it's of the flesh. I'm going to reap corruption because these things are all temporary for a limited time only. But when I sow in the spirit, those things are eternal. And they bear witness of the mark of life everlasting in them. In other words, those things are the things that God honors. And so Paul says, and let us not be weary. There are three things in this verse I want to pull out just that you understand what Paul is saying to us in this message to hold on, because change is coming. The first thing he says to us through this text is be strong. Be strong. Turn to your neighbor if you don't mind and say be strong. Be strong. Look at what he says. And let us not be weary in well doing. Be strong. Why do I need to be strong? Because I need to tell you that you have really got to be strong to do right. See, when you're weak, you do wrong, because wrong is easy to do. You're like the wind. Anywhere the wind blows. Have you ever watched a leaf in the wind, piece of paper in the wind? You can't direct it. It goes where the flow goes, because it's weak. Doesn't have the power to stand against the wind. And so listen at this. If you're going to do right, then you got to be strong to do right, because we're in the influence of Satan and the powers that be in this world and world system. And so that means to do right means to go against wrong. And you got to be strong to go against wrong. And so he encourages us to be strong. Even if you got to stand all by yourself, be strong. Why? Because, listen at this word, and let us be what? He encourages us to be strong because, and let us not be weary. Now this word weary is interesting, because it literally means spiritless. It means wearied out. It means exhausted. And let us not be spiritless in well doing. And let us not be wearied out in well doing. And let us not be exhausted in well doing. I looked up the word well in the context of this verse and found words like beautiful, handsome, excellent, admirable, wonderful words like these that suggest well to be far greater than what we normally hold this word to mean. Now, what's interesting is all of this that's said about well is in the light of doing. In other words, do things that are beautiful, that are excellent, that are handsomely done, that are admirably done. Because the doing, listen, is the deeds of our heart and our minds. And the doing is the manifestation of that we've contemplated, that we've thought on, that we've meditated on, that we have put much time into. the doing should be that that's beautiful. That's excellent. That's handsomely done. That's admirably done. Should be something that causes inspiration. And so when it's doing well, listen again, you've got to be strong. Because the devil doesn't want you to do right. The devil doesn't want you to be strong. The devil don't want you to hold out. The devil don't want you to say, if I got to stand all by myself, I'm going to stand in Jesus' name. The devil doesn't want you to keep on doing good. Listen, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The devil knows if he can keep you from letting your light shine, men won't see your good works. If they don't see your good works, God doesn't get the glory. And if God doesn't get the glory, you don't get the good. And nobody wins but the devil. In a dark world where you've been called to shine, you got to be strong. Tell somebody to be strong. But not only must you be strong, but you need to be sure. Tell somebody to be sure. Now I want you to help me preach this message because I need you to try and reach the person sitting next to you. Be sure. Because he says, for in due season. For in due season. We shall reap. You've got to be sure that in due season. Well, where does due season take its form and foundation from? You go back to a chapter of Genesis and you begin to see where God said, as long as the earth remains, that will be seed time, A-N-D conjunction, and harvest. If there is a seed time, then there's going to be a harvest. And if you're sure, because God said, as long as the earth remaineth. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And as long as the earth remaineth means as long as you're alive. And as long as you're alive, if you sow seed, you're going to get a harvest back during harvest time. And so you need to know that that's a sure word from the Lord. So you need to be sure. Listen, how many things would we do wonderfully well, and how many things would we go out of our way to do, and how much stronger would we be if we knew we were going to get all of those wonderful things that we did back, because God is not a man that he should lie. And because he said, as long as the earth remaineth, that's sure enough for me. That's the assurance I need to keep on pressing, to keep on pushing, to keep on pulling, to keep on holding on, because I know in the end I win. Be sure. When you're sure that your efforts are not in vain, when you're sure that God's going to honor what you've done, especially if what you've done has honored him, when you can be sure that that you sow, you're going to also reap. It really doesn't matter who's looking. Doesn't really matter who's watching. I'm sure that whether they see me sow the seed or not, if I do what I'm supposed to do, the Bible says in due season, we shall reap. I need to tell you what due is connected with. Due is connected with work. But not only work, it's connected with wait. Now let me tell you how the process goes. First of all, you work to prepare the field for the seed. Secondly, you work to plant the seed in the field. Thirdly, you work in the process of cultivation of the seed. Listen. And then fourthly, you wait for the progress of the seed. Now, did you hear what I just said? It says in due season. There is a process that must take place, and I cannot rush the process. And so that means, listen, the very thing that might be the hardest might not be the three work involvement, but rather the wait involvement. See, I might be all right long as I'm busy doing something, but it's when I ain't got nothing else to do but wait that the devil starts messing with my mind and start making me wonder, is this thing gonna grow? It's taking a little longer than it ought to grow. Maybe I ought to dig it up and check it out, see what the progress of my seeds are. Maybe I put it in bad ground and it's not going to return me nothing good. And that's where the devil starts messing with your mind when you got to wait. You can't even wait the season through. And the enemy causes you to mess up your blessings. Here's what you need to know. And let us not be weary in well doing. Well doing means that we have done what we're supposed to do. And I want to throw this out so that you get this understanding fully. When you do what you're supposed to do, you give God permission to schedule, after you have sown your seed, your harvest. I said your harvest. Now, whether that's great or small, it's your harvest. He's not going to schedule your harvest according to my work. My harvest will be scheduled according to my work. Your harvest will be scheduled according to your work. And so here's what you need to know, that when you do your part, tell your neighbor, do your part, then you free God up to put your name on the scheduled harvest list. And listen at this. When he puts your name on the scheduled harvest list, all you got to do is wait on him. Wait on him. Wait on him. This is so important. Till Paul comes back at the end of this verse and says something very important. He says, if we faint not. Now here's what you need to know. If you have the power to commence the scheduling of your harvest, know that according to Scripture, you have the power to cancel the scheduling of your harvest. Did you hear what I just said? After all the work you've done, because you cannot wait, you cancel out your scheduled harvest. When you get ahead of God and you can't hold on, because you're sure, because you're strong. Listen, the third thing is to be steadfast. If we faint not, be steadfast. Wait on him. Believe him. Trust him. Know that he's faithful to back up his word. And then and only then will we reap a harvest. My grandfather used to have a little garden. And when I was young, I used to go and visit with him and my grandmother, and he would plant tomatoes and okra. We don't say okra, we say okra. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And cucumbers and watermelon and different things like that. And he had two fruit trees. He had a fig tree and he had a pear tree. And what was interesting about that was that in the sowing season, he decided what he wanted to grow in his garden. And at seed time, sowing time, he would go and he would plant the seed of what he wanted to grow. And then he would put at the end of the rows a stick where he had a picture of what that row was to produce. And he nailed that picture to that piece of wood. And he'd say, when harvest time comes, this row will produce such and so. And on and on and on and on. And the strangest thing happened. When harvest time came, I was looking sometime for different things, but not him. He looked for what he planted. And what he planted came up. And what came up, we partook of. And I wondered why when he would go out to the fig tree, he wouldn't get plums. Or when he went to the pear tree, he wouldn't pull oranges. Because what you've got to understand is what you put in, you get out. And it's ludicrous to think that you can put in anything different and get out something different from what you put in. And so, my brothers and sisters, once you have done the good work, the good job, wait on God. You might not get credit immediately, but wait on Him. It may be a long time coming, but wait on Him. The Bible is clear that there is a change that's coming. And one of the things you've got to understand is once you've done your part, there is a part that God does that you can't do. And so all God ever expects you to do is your part. And when you've done your part, all you've got to learn how to do is to recall God's faithfulness. And to know that God will always honor His word. And when you're sure that God will honor His word, that it's not so hard to be strong in the face of God's strength. I wish I had a witness in the house. I'm so glad that I know God is faithful to do what He promised He would do. And all I'm trying to tell somebody here this morning is just hold on a little while longer. Surely God will change things. Somebody might say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, God may not want me to know what you're going through, but I tell you one thing, He knows. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. He knows everything you're dealing with. He knows everything you're walking through. He knows who's turned their backs on you. He knows who's bent down and given you a helping hand. He knows everything that comes your way. Thank God I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to wait on God. Have I got a witness here? Oh, Lord, I'm getting ready to leave you when I tell you a change is on the way. You might look to your left, but it might come from the right. You might look down below, but it may come from above. All I'm trying to tell you is if you just trust God, believe His word, do your best, and hold on. Watch God make a difference. Come here, Job.
help me close this message. Job, one day when he was going through some stuff, he had gotten a little bit weary, and he had to call on the foundation of his faith. And Job said, one